deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Hello listeners, this is Ted Marr, your host with the Out of This World radio program, talking from broadcasting from the studios of Alternative Talk Radio, KKNW, in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle and beyond. Today we have as our guest one of the best psychics and astrologers in Seattle, Karen Wienerlin. Karen is with us here in the studios in Bellevue, and we'll start our interview shortly. But before we do, I just wanted to share a few things with our listeners. At the beginning of each show, I will try to have a little out-of-this-world story to start off the program, and today I have one from Eastern Washington. Last week, I helped a dear friend, Carol, get a car for her son from Spokane. When a friend picked up the car, a 1990 Nissan Sentra in Spokane, the car started up fine. He drove it great from Spokane to Moses Lake. It's about 105 miles. And when the car got to Moses Lake, the mechanic did a final inspection before we picked it up. And when he opened the hood, the distributor wasn't connected. Actually, it was just a loose mess of disconnected wires and nuts and bolts. And there was no reason for why the car, number one, even started, or my friend could drive it from a distance of about 110 miles from Spokane to Moses Lake. Does anyone have any reason why a car like that would be drivable even though it had no distributor? Well, I believe the answer lies not in this dimension, but in the fifth dimension, because the car had angelic intervention so that it could be driven. The second thing that happened is when my friend picked up the car in Moses Lake and drove it to Renton, suddenly in the ashtray, a bunch of pennies appeared out of nowhere when she was driving the car. If that's ever happened to you out there in the listening audience, I call this phenomenon pennies from heaven, because those spirits will let you know that they're protecting and watching over you when pennies suddenly appear, and usually heads up out of nowhere. I'd like to take a quick break now, and then we'll be starting our interview with Karen. Hello, friends. My name's Ted Marr. I'm the radio show host of the Out of This World radio program. We focus in on psychic phenomenon and metaphysics. We have in a studio today one of the best astrologers and tarot readers in the Seattle area, Karen Wienerlin. Karen, how did you become interested in this field?
Because I'm a control freak, like most of us. I need to know what's going on in life. And so tarot and astrology just answer those questions for us. Tarot is a present tense oracle. It talks about what's going on in life right now. And astrology looks at the big picture and says, am I headed the way I want to be? Am I being who I want to be?
Karen, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a reading?
Show up at East West Bookshop every Friday. Or you can email me at karen@seattleastrologer.com. Again, you can reach me at East West Bookshop every Friday or at karen@seattleastrologer.com.
Thanks, Karen.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Candia Sanders. She's considered one of the best intuitive and energetic healers in the Northwest, and I'd like to introduce you to my audience. Candia, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the services you provide?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ted. I am an energetic healer and intuitive. I read the emotional, mental, physical, and sexual body, and then I align them for health and vitality. People come to me for relationships, for career issues, and most importantly, their health. And then, like I said, I can see into the body, and I do my magic and align them, and people come back happy and healthy and feeling alive and spirited.
Wonderful. You probably pick up where the medical profession leaves off, I assume.
That is my job.
Well, good. And, Candy, how long have you been doing this?
I have been intuitive since I was little, and I mean 4 years old. Medical intuitive in the 90s and the healing in the 90s. So I've integrated those into my work for the last nearly 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, friends, if you need the help of an excellent intuitive and healer, I strongly urge you to contact Candia. Her link's on my website, which is www.wix.com/out-of-this-world. And I've actually had her do some work for myself, and I've been very happy, and I strongly recommend her to all my listeners.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I know that
you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Hello, listeners, we're back. For those who are just tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of Alternative Talk Radio, KKNW, 1150 AM, Bellevue, Washington. I wanted to let you know before we start our interview with Karen, we will be having a contest for a bag of gemstones at the bottom of the hour at about 3:30, donated by the Quest Bookshop. I don't know if you've ever been to the Quest Bookshop, but it's a very angelic place. It's full of white light, and they have frankly, it's just an amazing, superb collection of tarot cards, angelic books, and other reference materials and crystals. They're located at 717 Broadway East in Seattle. And if you are in the area, be sure to visit them. Well, Karen, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, Ted. I'd love to. I've been an astrologer and a tarot reader in Seattle since the early 1990s. And it's just been a really fun profession to have, to be able to meet people and look at what they're up to and kind of get you really in tune with how people are so connected to each other.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. You can't see Karen, of course, in the studio here, but when Karen walks into a room, the entire room always lights up. She has this beautiful white light aura around her. I've had her do psychic readings for me, and I've always been very, very pleased at her work. Karen, I was just wondering, what kinds of things can a good reading provide answers to or help people with?
Oh, pretty much everything. I love tarot because you can ask tarot anything. It's like, should I get this car fixed? Should I write this article? Should I do this or that? Tarot always has a point of view and a perspective about anything that's going on at the moment. Or you can be very, very profound and ask about things that are very connected to your spiritual path or changes that need to be made in your life. I look at when we have periods where we're disenchanted with our life and not feeling connected to it, that's just your higher self telling you it's time for a change, time to do something else, and it's time to be open for that new thing and that new change that's out there.
Mm-hmm. I've heard from my own studies and readings, Karen, that the earth is sort of like a school, and we're all here to learn lessons before we spiritually move on to the next life. Can a good tarot reading or a good psychic reading help people with determining their soul purpose and why they're here?
It can, but that's for, you know, finding your soul purpose is your own purpose. Mm-hmm. And another person can't really tell you what that is. That's needed for your own discovery. They can give you some ideas. Mm-hmm. They can help you with getting clear or acknowledging some things about yourself that you might not be willing to look at. Mm-hmm. But if somebody tells you this is your life purpose, young lady, it's like, beware, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't allow somebody to tell you what it is. Sure. It's for you to sense it, feel it, know it, and then to be it, rather than to be told what it is.
Can you use tarot and other, and for example, astrology to do like a time travel, to look into the future based upon the current events in your life to say this will lead to this or this could lead to this, as for example?
Yeah, tarot being a present tense oracle, it's really good at telling you what's going on right now in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's accurate for about 6 to 9 months period of time to say, you know, you've got a question. Here's how it will turn out if you don't do anything. But if you choose to do something, it may just turn out differently. Mm-hmm. And that's why all psychic stuff works so well, is people are typically pretty much couch potatoes about their life. Mm-hmm. They set actions and in motion, but then they sit back and watch. Mm-hmm. And so there is just like a ball will roll down a hill, until you kick it or pick it up, it's not going, you know, your life doesn't change direction unless you put some effort into it. So tarot is really good in that short term. Astrology now. Astrology I love, because astrology can tell you, here's the cycles, here's the trends of things that are coming up for a long period in the future. So you can look at 2 years, 5 years, and be able to get an understanding of the opportunities and challenges that will be presented to you for your growth and for your, because I believe that we're here to grow. And that it's not, I don't care so much about what the next life is. That'll take care of itself next time. As long as I keep growing in this lifetime, then I'm doing my work as a human being rather than a human animal that just lets life happen to them. But I love how astrology can say, you know, this might be something I need to look at in 3 years' time. So how can I prepare for that? How can I be ready for that as much as I can? How can I be ready for the opportunity that in, say, 2 years' time will only be there for a year? So I've got to really take advantage of this period. So we get blessings. We get challenges. And it's always our point of view, whether we turn that into a drama and turn something that could be positive into something negative, or turn that lemon into lemonade.
Well, I agree completely. I'll give you an example from my own experience. Last summer I had a reading, and the reader said that unless I changed my lifestyle and ate better and took care of my weight, which at the time was really overweight, I could easily get diabetes between the ages of 65 and 70. I'm now 59. So since that time I've lost weight, I've gotten an exercise program, I'm eating a lot better. So I still may have that problem in the future, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as the original forecast, which is nice to know about, you know, things that come down. People may, out there in the listening audience, may wonder, well, where this information comes from. I mean, it's fascinating, and it's usually very, very accurate. But where does this come from? Where did the information come? Beyond this dimension? Another dimension, perhaps? Or?
With astrology, no. Astrology is a very linear art form, art and science, if you will. And certain combinations, without getting into astrology speak, like computer geek speak, there's astrology speak, so we won't go there. But there are certain combinations that come up that just, it's like X plus Y equals Z. And it's amazing how accurate it is. It's like, I don't have any idea why that one works the way it does, but it's a very math-oriented science. The interpretation of it is an art. It's very much a philosophical, psychological, sociological, when it's done well. Where tarot and other psychic phenomena are very much for me, I get that information from not only just the meaning of the cards, but then it's like, what is this person going through on a deeper level? I contact my guides up in the fifth dimension, whatever that is, fifth dimension, I think. And my guides talk to your guides, and your guides talk to you. So I don't ever try and go into somebody's head. I talk to my folks on the other side, talk to your guides talk to you. There are others, psychics, or who will do that very differently. But that's how I choose to do it. It keeps me out of somebody else's mind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important that we not cross that barrier and infringe on someone else's privacy, spiritually or energetically. And it keeps the situation really clean. It keeps me from having to carry away other people's stuff. I got my own stuff. I don't need any help with anybody else's stuff. Thank you so much. Our guides on the other dimensions, they grow by working with us, by helping us. And they get points and they have growth and it is their service to us. I mean, they're getting something out of it too. Mm-hmm. They're growing as well.
Nice.
They just don't have that physical body anymore. They have no need of it. And because it's their point of view, we always have to be careful because they're giving us information often from their point of view. Mm-hmm. And that might just not be relevant. They have no idea that about time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could say, oh, well, it's time to do this thing. It's time to replace that car and buy a new one. But it may not be time for your wallet to do that, you know, because they don't get, well, that it's going to be another year and a half before that engine blows up on you. But until that time, it's going to be a perfectly good car for a year and a half, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. One point I'd like to make to our listening audience is that Karen is very, very good at what she does, and I've had a reading with her before, and she's been extremely accurate and just amazing some of the things that came out. One thing I'd like to add, too, my foster mother, Terry, was a master psychic, and she used to help the police departments locally here find missing and lost children. And she was also very, very accurate about it. It was tough work because sometimes she'd find the kids, and, of course, they might have been murdered or other things, bad things may have happened to them. But she always told me that the information which comes from these your guardian angels on the other side in the fifth dimension and beyond, they work from a position of 100% truth and a base of love and caring for you. So that when this information comes through, they try to give it in the best possible way that they can to help you.
They try to. And that's if you are conversing with an angel, an angelic mm-hmm. form. They're a little bit higher level mm-hmm. than a standard fifth dimensional. A fifth dimensional person is just like you and I. They've just crossed over. And they're not any smarter than we are. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have their point of view. Mm-hmm. You need to get to, and they provide great information because mm-hmm. they have great love and compassion for you as your guide. But in terms of getting really more esoteric information that you know is going to be very, very precise, when you look at angels, you're looking at 7th to 9th to 11th dimension. They're much, you know, in that sense, they're much... much less, you know, they've already gone through a lot of that educational growth that needs to happen to become more ascended.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah, because Fascinating. We'll spend, from my point of view, we spend many lifetimes going back and forth from fifth dimension to third dimension. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that back and forth, that's just... You know, every time we grow. And then we go back mm-hmm. with our soul family on the other side, and we grow within that soul family mm-hmm. in that non-physical world. And then we get to come back here mm-hmm. when it's time mm-hmm. and try it again mm-hmm. And learn more so that because you can only grow so much without a body. Mm. You can only grow so much without limitations. You can only grow so much with love and light and bliss, mm-hmm. with, you know, complete connectedness. Mm. And so we need some of this crazy, unstructured, good, bad, up and down, shades of gray especially. Mm-hmm. A lot of people right now are really stuck in this idea of the world being right or wrong, good or bad, black and white, just one thing or the other. It's so, you know, so rigidly oppositional, when the reality of the world is that there's
shades of gray.
Tons of shades of gray. Mm-hmm. And you look at the sunset or the sunrise, mm-hmm. The last few weeks around Seattle, they've been beautiful with pinks and oranges and yellows and golds and greens and beautiful blue sky that we never get in the winter here. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cold and awesome. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot. It's not just a sunrise. Mm-hmm. It's this whole beautiful experience, and that's what life is it's a whole range of things. It's not just one or the other.
On Angelic Guides, I wanted to ask you just a few questions. You've
sure.
raised a lot of really good points, Karen. I myself have been told I have about 10, 12 angels around me, and my dad, who passed away in 99, is now an ascended master. I believe he's in the 7th or 8th dimension. How many guides can a person have, or
you'll just like you go to the doctor and you get specialists.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through a period in your life where there's something in particular that you have going on, mm-hmm. there will be a person on the other side who has that capacity mm-hmm. to work with you with it. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that we have to do is really ask. It's like, you know, I have what I call my board of directors. And some of them are angels, most of them are guides, but there's business guides and health guides and people who are there to access medical information, people who are there to access career information, to be specialists at talking to other people about meeting the people that I need to meet to be able to do the job that's set out for me maybe 5 years from now that I don't even know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
And because time doesn't exist up there, they can set that stuff up mm-hmm. very easily mm-hmm. in that realm. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, I have board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We have agendas. We chat. It's very fun, you know. And then it's a process of asking and being connected.
One thing I think it's very important to point out, that not all the entities on the other side are necessarily benevolent or have good intentions. How do you, Karen, know if you've gotten there's a spirit on the other side that doesn't have your best intentions involved? Do you cover yourself in white light before doing a reading, for example, and ask for help from the higher angelic authorities to give the best possible advice without any negativity?
Typically, if somebody's going to come across from the other side with a point of view that's radically different from your own, mm-hmm. or causing you to not necessarily to grow, but to that's really challenging core things about yourself. I look at that almost always to be some sort of a dark controlling entity, because mm-hmm. just like, you know, there's positive people on the other side, there's also troublemakers on the other side
sure.
who, you know, they're just lower level entities, and they're mm-hmm. going to hang out and they're going to have fun. And it's, you know, a lot of kids especially would get their very first Ouija board, you right. know, when they're very young, and they'll start playing with that Ouija board. And it's, you know, it brings across a lot of very low level folks mm-hmm. because the kids aren't able to screen them out.
Right.
And whenever I'm doing any kind of session work, we always screen out and set protection so that that kind of entity force can't get through the shield.
If a person, for example, is naive and doesn't have any awareness of spirits on the other side, or and doesn't put up any protections, is that an easier target, perhaps, for an evil spirit to come, or a bad spirit to come in and cause them harm, or to influence them in a negative way?
It is. It mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And that spirit will typically prey on your weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
And on your own sense of guilt or shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that shame is so pervasive in our society, mm-hmm. and it's really easy to manipulate people through their shame, through the things that they feel bad about. And that whole piece, it's so manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common that people get in relationships with others mm-hmm. that push those buttons. We can get in relationships with what we think is our higher self. And generally, the negative spirit force will present itself as a part of ourself, as our conscious or our consciousness, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, an entity force, mm-hmm. because they're sneaky. They're not direct.
Right.
Where a positive spirit will bring lightness, you will feel light within your body. You will feel a sense of lightness either in the chest area, your ability to breathe clearly and smoothly through it, that lightness. When something isn't true, you'll feel heaviness within the body. A lot of times that's in the third chakra, that place of power and structure feels heavy because it doesn't fit you. Somebody's trying to take that power away from you some entity.
What if the chakras are damaged? Let's say the solar plexus is damaged, for example. Would that be exhibited in physical manifestations, for example, stomach ailments? Or
back ailments.
Back ailments.
Things like that. Breathing.
Mm-hmm. Breathing.
Breathing problems
mm-hmm.
with third.
Mm-hmm.
All of those. But your own body has tremendous abilities when you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have self-care and mm-hmm. self-love for yourself,
mm-hmm.
when you practice, you know, kind of very good boundaries,
mm-hmm.
you're able to be able to stay centered and grounded within, so that you can find that place
mm-hmm.
within yourself that's a true place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can always ask yourself, you know, truth.
Mm-hmm.
And by asking yourself the question, truth, is this something that's good for me?
Right.
Just asking from that place of truth,
mm-hmm.
the parts of us or the parts that may be from other entities can't lie to you.
A very important point I want to make is that some of the books I've read, for example, James von Prague, a medium who's been in touch with the other side for many decades, he says sometimes people either operate from a base of fear or they operate from a base of love.
Yes.
And if they operate, for example, from a base of love, then asking what the truth is can really help them.
Mm-hmm.
Can the same question be asked if people operate from a base of fear, or is that not really relevant?
Oh, sure, it's relevant.
Uh-huh.
Whether they do anything about it. You know, you can always ask and you will get the information, but very often people choose not to do what it is that they know their truth is telling them.
Sure.
It's very common, you know. It's well, like, I know better to get into this relationship with this person.
Yeah.
You know, I knew better go, you know, day one. It's like, well, why did you do it?
Right.
You know,
I'll give an example from my own history. The first time I was married, my dad told me specifically not to marry this lady. She was pretty, but she had some problems. Don't we all?
Yeah.
But she wasn't particularly good for me. I 3 weeks into the marriage, I knew it was the wrong choice, and it only took me 13 years to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. And once we get into something,
mm-hmm.
the other piece is we don't get out of it as soon as we know that we made a bad choice,
right?
Which really just enhances the time that we spend in pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. The honest, I believe in being really honest. And mm-hmm. so that honest piece of life that says when it's changed mm-hmm. and when it's irreconcilable, mm-hmm. then it's time to let go of whatever it is that we know is now wrong for us.
A very interesting point of view, actually, I read about this recently, is that when people stay in relationships that aren't working out or they know it's not working out, it really prevents them from finding the person who perhaps will make them much, much happier, and perhaps for both yeah. parties, both but for both parties, not only for the person who isn't happy. But
absolutely. Because you're going against the will of your own highest self mm-hmm. because your soul came here to do something in particular. Mm-hmm. And it needed to get in that relationship with your wife. You needed to do that. That was a part of your soul's journey to be in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to get married,
right.
but to have relationship with that person was of importance.
It was
for your life path,
like a teacher,
yeah.
For example, and let's say one person in a relationship is abusing the other person. Well, that person can be looked at as a great teacher, teaching them some lessons, whatever lessons they need to learn,
right.
whatever that may be.
Right, and you know? But that doesn't mean you need to marry them.
True,
you don't need to make babies with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
totally optional.
Mm-hmm.
But it creates a whole bunch of drama if you do.
Right,
which it's like maybe you need to learn about drama.
Maybe so.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to know. So many people need to learn about power.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had centuries and centuries where ordinary people, mm-hmm. just working class people, ordinary folk, haven't had any power. And we have a society that's grown over the last few hundred years that allows people to actually have something called personal power.
Mm-hmm.
To express what they want,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, maybe 300 years ago, the fact that you wanted to be a dressmaker, but in your family you were all cooks, it meant you never got to be that dressmaker. In this life, in the last few hundred years, life has evolved to the point where we have a great deal of choice.
It's fantastic, really. You can
yeah.
do practically anything you want. And it's very, yeah, very
yeah.
good point. Yeah.
yeah, and so we yeah. have, our little soul has this soul history of
mm-hmm.
limitation
mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. of not quite being good enough.
In Guatemala, it's very interesting. One of my degrees is in anthropology, and in Guatemala, I know that the Native Americans there have a theory of limited good. In other words, there's only so much good that can go around. So that if one person is prospering in a part of rural Guatemala, nobody else can prosper. Nobody else can have their own business. Nobody else can be happy because that one person is happy or having their own business, financially prospering. And it comes back to self-imposed limitations
right.
upon. But I personally think that the human soul is a fantastic, has fantastic capabilities and fantastic potentialities for the future. And one of the goals of this program is to raise consciousness and to give people the alternatives on which to have a much better life.
Yeah.
I have a whole ton of more questions to ask Karen, but I'd like to take a quick break now. And I'd like to have a commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll have a gemstone contest.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events, both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Hogue publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease, try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures, but essentially it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades, where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of my, what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
They may fall,
hello, friends. We're back on the air again, broadcasting live from the studios of Alternative Talk Radio, KKNW, 1150 AM on your radio dial, with your host, Ted Marr, for the Out of This World radio program. Thanks for coming back. We have a gemstone contest now for the first caller. It's a bag of beautiful tumbled gemstones of amethyst, carnelian, angelite, and a whole bunch of malachite, and all kinds of these beautiful stones from the Quest Bookshop. I don't know if any of you have been down there before, but it's a beautiful bookshop. It's just filled with angelic light. It's one of my favorite places in Seattle. Our phone number here is toll-free at 1-888-298-5569, or the regular number is 425-373-5527. For the first caller, you'll be getting a beautiful bag of gemstones from the Quest Bookstore. In the meantime, while we wait for any callers, I wanted to ask Karen a couple more questions. Karen, how do you give someone bad news if you see someone, if you see bad news either through a tarot reading or a astrology chart?
Well, it's really important to give bad news in a way that is very empowering to a person, mm-hmm. And not avoid it. It's to be direct and be in a place where you as the reader are completely neutral so that you can be present for that person who needs to express themselves about that, whatever the news is, whether it's, you know, this is a bad relationship for you. And the other piece is that you, as a reader, it's not your job to tell the other person what to do. It's your responsibility to give them options. You know, it's like if you see that there's potential health problems in their future, it's not to say you're going to get cancer, because it might not be cancer. It might be something else. But the point is like, you know, it's time for you to go to the doctor and get a really good checkup. It's time to, you know, you may be getting some stress from, you know, your hormones being out of whack for some reason. So go get that checked out. You know, the idea of giving bad news is to do it calmly, directly, without being hysterical, or without being taking their power away to be able to do something about whatever the news is. You know, is my boyfriend cheating on me? That's a pretty direct yes or no question. And they may not want to hear that yes, he is, but on the other hand, they asked you the question. And if one asks a question, they deserve an answer. But they deserve an answer that's warm and empowering, and that encourages them to talk about it, that encourages them to grow through it, and that allows them to see that there's outcome on the other side of whatever the challenge might be.
I'll give you an example that happened to me back in 97. It was, I had had this hole in my chest ever since I was a kid, birth defect. Could have been from a past life, I don't know. It was, the hole was about the size of a bullet. So I may have been shot there in a previous life. I don't know, but I was born with it. And in the mid to late 90s, it kept getting infected over and over. No matter what I would do, it'd clean it out, take antibiotics, and then within a week, it would get infected again. So my foster mother said, Ted, you better have that looked at by a doctor. So I went in. He immediately decided to operate. He took it out. And then after that, she said that she'd gotten the message that if I hadn't had the operation, I would have gotten cancer and possibly died. As a second example, back in 99, at the time I was living in Olympia, and I got this, I was just about ready to take a trip to Eastern Washington, and she called me up out of the blue and said, are you going to get in your car now and drive over to Eastern Washington? And she'd already read my mind. I said, yes. She said, delay your trip by one day. So I delayed the trip by one day. The next morning, I picked up the local paper, and there'd been a terrific car accident involving a truck at the Nisqually Bridge over Interstate 5. And if I had, in fact, left at that time, I would have been right in the middle of that car accident and probably died. So there were many, many times where she had given me information which literally saved my life. And messages from the other side, particularly from angels and guardian spirits who only have your best interest in mind, coming from a base of love and light, their messages are to be taken seriously and not disregarded. That's just my own personal advice from personal experience.
Yeah, and those sorts of things are things that within each person, we need to learn how to trust that, how to listen, how to be quiet. That's why so many people talk about having doing meditation, because it quiets the mind so that you can learn to trust what is coming from the quieter, higher dimensional part of the mind. Your own connection, whether it's to the higher self or to your guides, all of that, it's quiet. And sometimes you just got to shut up to be able to listen to it. And the more you do and then take that advice, the more you'll trust it. Because it does. It's like, oh, I can trust that I need to take a right now. I don't know why my car said, you know, something said, take a right. Go this direction home tonight. It's like, don't go on the freeway tonight. You know, oh, you're going to be stuck in traffic for 2 hours. You know, Or there's a football game tonight. Don't go in DeSoto tonight. Sure. But you didn't know that.
Sure.
You'd be stuck in all that. So it's that learning to trust it that's very important. Because I think when we're really balanced with our higher self as a part of the dynamic of ourselves, and when our egos are in the proper balance, we can live very smoothly. But when we're out of balance, when we're unfocused, that becomes, you know, then it's a huge challenge all the time. It becomes very difficult to accomplish pretty much of anything. Because we're not in the right alignment with ourselves. Our ego is a part of us that only knows the past. It only knows what's been happening already in our lives. And its job is to keep us safe. You know, good little ego, keep us safe. But to the ego, what that means is the ego says, I don't want you doing anything new, anything I can't control, anything I've never imagined. But when our soul's necessity is to grow and learn and change, that's like, ooh, this ego soul, they're at odds. And you have to have that conversation with ego self and say, no, forget it.
One of the most valuable lessons that I'm going to be, I always will be eternally grateful to my to Terry, my foster mother, for giving me, was how to communicate and converse with and get messages from the other side. And that's where I learned that the good guardian angels and the good entities from the angelic realm only have your best interests in mind.
Right.
As an example, and I think meditation is very important, to give yourself a nice quiet area where you can quiet down the noise and basically open yourself up to communications from the other side in a good way, not a bad way, but a good way. And that happened to me about more than a year ago, actually. I'd had 25 years of crappy relationships, and I wondered, you know, who my true love and soulmate was, and they all told me the same person's name, all 12 of them, at the same time. And later I looked her up, and we've had a wonderful friendship since then. But it's very important to listen to it's what's called intuition, or that inner voice, because that inner voice is usually correct, almost always correct.
Yeah.
And it's very important to think of the first thought that comes in your mind is the correct one. If you start second-guessing yourself, usually that's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. And the first thing that when you're dealing with listening to yourself is that the ego or the ideal woman or ideal man that's having this constant conversation in your head, that part of self is very negative. You can't do life well enough. You might be getting up on stage and giving the class and you rocked it. You were fabulous. And your inner ideal woman will say to yourself, and you got up there in that outfit? It's never good enough. And it's very common, especially for women, to have that, I'm not good enough. And that is not, that's an inner negative.
How do you, help someone with that self-image if they, for example, have that inner negative?
The biggest piece of it is to challenge it.
I see.
Yeah. I guess I'm big on having meetings. So, it's like I have board meetings. So like I have a conversation with that ideal woman or with that negative self that says, what is it that I need to do to become my best self? Sure. And so we sit down and we have a meeting. And I write those down, and usually there's three or four items that she's got that are actually positive, things that, I could do to change. And some of them it's like, not interested. But other ones it's like, okay, you have a point. I'll work on that.
Sure.
But then she's going to start repeating the same list over and over again. And it's like, oh, excuse me, you already did that. You already said that. Because what happens with the negative voice is they will repeat the same basic five or six things over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And because they just don't want to shut up, mm-hmm. you challenging them and mm-hmm. saying, oh, no, sorry, already got it. Mm-hmm. And then learning how to change the internal dialogue channel, mm-hmm. just like you, heaven forbid, would change the radio station mm-hmm. to another channel. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, do I want to listen to jazz? Do I want to listen to talk radio? Do I want to mm-hmm. listen to choir music? Mm-hmm. Whatever mm-hmm. that is, it's like, oh, so that you only fill your head with the kinds of thoughts you wish to have.
When I was a small boy, I was told I was stupid. Mm-hmm. And to rebel against that, I went to school for a long time. And then, 20, 30 years later, after getting 4 degrees in 5 different subjects, I finally realized, but maybe I'm not stupid after all. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
I finally got rid of that old record.
Yeah.
So.
But what did it take? By not mm-hmm. challenging it, mm-hmm. Because we automatically assume mm-hmm. that whatever adult told you that mm-hmm. as a child, mm-hmm. that they were right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we don't, you know, those things, therapy is good.
Yeah, yeah. <You know? laughs> Well, Karen, we're getting close to the end. I wish we had we have a few more minutes, but I wanted to give out first before we ran out of time. Karen, your website is www.seattleastrologer.com.
That's it.
You want to look up contact information, or you can certainly email her at Karen@seattleastrologer.com. One thing before I forget, are there any astrological events happening right now that may affect people's lives between now and through the end of December through Christmas?
You bet. There is a Venus retrograde. So Venus is about our wants. What we want, what we desire, what we believe, what our belief system is, mm-hmm. how we think about ourselves. And Venus very much is asking, when she goes retrograde means appears to go reversed in the sky. Mm-hmm. And when she's in that cycle, it's a time to reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. So starting at Christmas, this reinvent yourself cycle begins again. So who's going to be the 2014 you? What does that person look like?
Fascinating.
Who is that person? And what choices can you make that enhance that new, improved version of you? I'm not big on spending a lot of time with old versions of you. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a 2009 version of me, but, you know, I really don't care, because it's coming up to 2014, and I'm really excited about that woman. Thank you very much. I could care less about 2011, let alone 1999. It's all that focus on the past. So with Venus retrograde, it's like focus on the now. Who are you now? And what choices can then I make that enhance that make that stronger, more loving, more caring, fuller out in the world? So that's your homework, guys.
What fantastic good advice. I really liked the interview today, Karen. We're kind of wrapping to the end of the show. I know this is, for me, it's been a personal transformation. I've wanted to get into radio since 1995, and I've started, and it's just been a fantastic experience. Real quick, this is KKNW, Alternative Talk Radio. You're listening on 1150 AM from the studios here in Bellevue, Washington. The program is designed to raise human consciousness throughout the Seattle and Puget Sound area and beyond. We will only have the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to. As you will hear information here, you simply will not hear elsewhere. Our website is www.outofthisworld1150.com, and designed by my dear friend Carol, who's done a wonderful job as a web designer. I'd also like to thank my foster mother, Terry, and Nikki and Josh, my cousins, and all of my angelic and earthly family for all the love and instruction they've given me for the past 20 years, my parents who brought me into the world, my friend Ann Nelson, professor at Walla Walla College, who initially suggested I contact KKNW about starting this radio program, and my awesome and wonderful, fantastic friend Carol, who's helped design my website and helped me advance seven different spiritual lifetimes during the past year through her amazing and fantastic friendship. I'd also like to thank the Quest Bookstore, the Leading Edge Bookstore, the Viagra Gem and Tarot Store, and the East Wex Bookstore for their support for this program. And this program is supported both by advertisers and listener support. Thus, if you like this program, please send a donation to support it. You can find out more information, including an address, at our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And a week from today, we'll be having Sonia Fitzpatrick, the best pet psychic in the United States, on for a truly out-of-this-world interview. Are there any last words you'd like to say, Karen, to the audience before we've got about 15 seconds?
Thanks very much for having me on, Ted. I really appreciate it. Anybody wants to get a hold of me, show up Fridays at East West Bookshop or email me at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com. Thanks again, Ted.
My pleasure. You can't find a better tarot and astrologer than Karen in the Seattle area. Bye-bye, everyone.
Ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today.